Blog Talk Radio.
Again to another episode of Is This the Church? And I am your host, Sister AJ. And before we get started, I'd like to just wish everyone a blessed Holy Week. This is the time of year where we turn our attention to focus on the time when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross to give his life for us and to redeem us back to God and for forgiveness of sin, and also his burial and resurrection. And this is what we're celebrating this week. So I hope you're having a blessed time getting ready for that. And we have a great show lined up for you today. As you know, we've been looking at artificial intelligence and the end times and the possibility of this. A lot of the things we're seeing with it even now are things that are setting the table or putting infrastructure, laws, all those kinds of things in place for the Antichrist to use, as it's described in Revelation 13, where he will control the economy, he'll control a lot of things to where those of us who refuse to receive his mark will not even be able to be a part of society. We won't be able to buy and sell all of those things. So that's what we've been talking about for a good little while now, and we will continue with that this week. And the last time we spoke about governance and how because of a lot of fears that people are expressing and feeling that we're moving too fast with this technology, they've been coming up with laws and governments. A lot of these tech giants, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, have met with members of the Senate to discuss laws and things like that to govern AI. So you can kind of see where this is going, to try to allay people's fears and regulate what is done online. So we've been discussing this, and that's where we left off last week. What we're going to get into today is going to be, I'll start off with a video that talks about some more of the fears or problems with AI and how they feel it's a danger to humanity. That's what this first video is going to be. It's a news report by Sky News. It's a in-depth report that we're going to take a look at that discusses some of these concerns with AI. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started with this first video.
The age of humanity being the superior intelligence of the planet is over.
I believe that robots should have rights, just like humans.
I mean, with the new AI technology and our skills already, what's going to come? We don't know.
I am not Morgan Freeman. People need to realize how powerful the potential of this stuff is.
And what you see is not real.
Are you saying the next interview there'll be a robot sitting there?
I have your daughter.
You better have all the cash, both you and your daughter are dead.
Why make something human when you can make something superhuman?
Are you capable of causing people harm?
It's all real.
Whether we realize it or not, artificial intelligence is already ingrained in our lives. Take this smartwatch for example. It doesn't just measure my heart rate, but how far I've walked. Alexa, turn off the lights. And that was done by AI too. The thing is, AI, well, it's actually been making our life easier for decades.
Siri, find me the quickest route to work.
But it's where technology is taking us that has some fearing we're about to lose control. Lord Archer, thank you for your time.
Jeffrey's fine.
Jeffrey, is the age of the author, has it come to an end?
No! No! What do you mean, come to an end? What do you mean? Explain yourself, young man.
For a man who spent nearly five decades writing for a living, Lord Jeffrey Archer now fears for his profession. Artificial intelligence, the ability for it to write, to replicate and emulate you.
It's a serious question, and I find it very hard at the age of 83 to believe that when I spend 1,000 hours on a book, some machine will be able to do one of my novels.
When was the last time you opened a book to do research for an assignment?
Oh, I don't think so. Never.
But for another generation in another country, the age of artificial intelligence is a no-brainer.
My mum talks about all the time how lucky we are to have the all the research that we have, because she's like, it was never like that when we were at school.
So what is artificial intelligence, or AI, as it's commonly known? Basically,
just want to add, they're looking at the young people, and we have to remember that, of course, the enemy of our souls, he's okay with the adults being fooled and bamboozled and led into things, but the real target are the young people. And think about it, there are a lot of us who probably can remember times when we didn't even have cable television. But this technologically advanced world where every information is available at your fingertips is all they know. So those folks are the real target. So these are things, this is information we have to be aware of so that we can look to protect them as much as we can, because they're being bombarded with this stuff. So it's normal for them to think that it's cool to be able to just not have to open a book or go to the library. Some of you remember that when we had to do a research paper, we had to go to the library and check out books and look at newspapers and microfiche, all that stuff to do research. But now you can ask a chatbot and it can pretty much write your paper for you.
It's machines having the same cognitive abilities as the human brain, things like reading, learning, and reasoning. And while it may seem new, it's not.
It seems probable that once the machine thinking method has started, it would not take long to outstrip our feeble powers. At some stage, therefore, we should expect the machines to take control.
And that was someone speaking from the 1950s, so I wanted to bring that attention. And imagine the arrogance of humans to think that we can come up or invent something or create something better than God can, who created us. And so we look at these machines as if they're better than us, and that's what Yuval Noah Harari said in some of the audio we've listened to, that we can become better than God at creating, and that artificial is actually better than natural. That's how twisted they are. They're flipping everything upside down, like what the Bible says, calling good evil and evil good. They're trying to say that the creation has become better than the creator. And who does that remind us of? Satan, who wanted to lift himself up above God.
This is Bletchley Park. It was here during World War II where a team of Allied codebreakers using primitive computers cracked the Nazis' supposedly unbreakable Enigma machine, shortening the war by years and saving millions of lives. But fast forward to today, and humans face a new threat, an AI evolution said to be bigger than the atom bomb or the Industrial Revolution. This is a battle where what it means to be human is at stake.
AI is not going to go away. We need to face facts. We're frightened about it at the moment because there's a lot of commentary out there about what it could do, overpower humanity, but the reality is it's not going away.
I've long been fascinated by artificial intelligence, both the potential for good and the possibility of evil. That's why I'm in London, hoping to find some answers.
I don't quite know whether I'm excited or nervous at the guy I'm about to meet, and I can tell you honestly, it's taken weeks to earn his trust. He's a former boss of Google's top secret research arm, and he says tech companies, big tech companies,
can I ask you this, and you finish the sentence? We have created a what?
We've created our next master. We have created our salvation or destruction.
It's pretty loaded.
Yeah, I've held off for a very long time. I have just kept it in my heart until I became more and more certain. We are in...
He said our salvation. So in his mind, Jesus as our salvation isn't even a thought, it seems. They're looking to AI, or people may look to AI as that, as if we can get a handle on using it for good rather than evil. But we know at the nature of man is a sinful nature, so of course the natural progression for anything that we create is it can be used for a lot of good things. We're using technology right now, but it can be used for evil, and that's the premise of this study, is looking at how in the end times this technology can be used by the Antichrist.
Point in human history where we're handing over control.
His name is Mo Gawdat. He's agreed to sit down and talk to us about what he believes are the very real dangers of AI.
What's happening in our society today is that artificial intelligence is an arms race. It really is not about just creating amazing technology. It's creating it before the other guy. It's inevitable. Think about it, Jonathan. If China develops AI, America will develop AI. If, you know, Alphabet develops AI, Meta will develop AI. This is inevitable. This is the capitalist system that we've created is creating that prisoner's dilemma where I have to be ahead of the other guy.
Money is being poured into this on every country on earth to stay ahead of the next country. I saw a distinguished American suggested we had 6 months moratorium. We all sat still for 6 months to discuss the consequences of AI. They ain't going to do that. The North Koreans aren't going to do that. The Russians aren't going to do that. The Chinese aren't going to do that. We've got to keep up with them.
In the world of AI, it's increasingly hard to work out what's real and what's not. From a puffer jacket-wearing pope to a disheveled Richard Wilkins, and even a former U.S. president being arrested. All these images are what's called deep fakes. Do you ever pinch yourself with where AI is at now and what is capable?
I think if you spent time pinching yourself, you would miss a lot.
Because it happens so quickly?
It's developing so fast. It is exponential, the amount of research that is coming out, how fast things have moved in the last 12 months. It's just so profound, and the next 12 months it will move faster.
Where will we be in 10 years' time?
I don't know exactly.
You're at the forefront of AI.
Tom Graham was once a lawyer.
It's moved incredibly fast.
He left Melbourne to continue his studies and later moved to London to become a tech whiz.
At Metaphysic, we focus on creating photorealistic AI-generated content that looks exactly like the real world.
Tom and his team at Metaphysic are behind these TikTok videos.
Hey, listen up, sports and TikTok fans. If you like what you're seeing, just wait till what's coming next.
And I just wanted to say the visuals on this is an image that looks like the actor Tom Cruise, and it looks very realistic. And so that's what he's talking about here, how they'll be able to use AI to generate these images. It might get to a place where all these actors and entertainers, they might be out of a job, and even the writers. Everything can be done by AI pretty much is what they're getting at.
They look like Tom Cruise.
Every now and then I like to treat myself.
They sound like Tom Cruise. But it's not Tom Cruise. It's another AI deepfake.
It's all the real thing.
So it looked as if it was kind of a 35-year-old, 40-year-old Tom Cruise actually giving the performance. And this art project was posted on TikTok, and it became Deep Tom Cruise.
Well, it became big. It became big as a big deal.
Yes, it went incredibly viral. Now it's had billions of views.
Oh, my God.
And I think hundreds of millions of people, at least for a moment in time, you know, thought to themselves, wow, is this actually Tom Cruise on TikTok, or what is this?
From TikTok to prime time, Tom and Co. was set a stage.
also wondering what some of these actors feel or think about their images and likenesses being used in this fashion. I'm not sure if they got permission to do this, so it's just something to think about.
The 2022 season finale of America's Got Talent.
What's your name?
So I'm Tom Graham from Australia.
And I'm Chris Yumei from Melbourne.
And what is your talent?
So our company is called Metaphysic, and we use artificial intelligence to create hyper-real content. And we're going to show the audience something kind of amazing.
Thank you very much.
Joining a deepfake double of Elvis Presley on stage were virtual versions of judges Heidi Klum and Sofia Vergara, plus a deep fake Simon Cowell.
This, in my opinion, is probably the most incredible original act we've ever had in any.
What do you think we'll expect to see with videos and deep fakes?
Yeah, it's already very difficult to tell reality from fake. It's already almost becoming impossible sometimes. You know, whether the Morgan Freeman videos, the Brad Pitt videos, and so on.
I am not Morgan Freeman. And what you...
Now, this thing doesn't look real, very real at all, but it's close. It looks a bit cartoonish, so there might be some of them you could look at it and tell, but it's probably going to get more sophisticated as this technology continues to advance.
He is not real. Well, at least in contemporary terms, it is not.
In this deepfake, AI altered the images. A voiceover actor impersonated the Hollywood superstar.
We're entering an era in which our enemies can make it look like anyone is saying anything at any point in time, even if they would never say those things.
But this is where it gets scary. Former U.S. President Barack Obama is turned into a deepfake. He looks real. He sounds real. Until he says this.
President Trump is a total and complete dipshit. Now, you see, I would never say these things. At least not in a public address. But someone else would. Someone like Jordan Peele. This is a dangerous time.
In democracy, what do deepfakes and altered videos mean for democracy?
So you know when they say there is a patient zero that always triggers the awareness of the pandemic? Yeah, the upcoming election, I believe, will be that patient zero. You know, we've seen what is claimed during the Trump election, what was claimed to be an influence of the, you know, of voters using the Internet. Yeah, with a much more intelligent machine, I think it's going to become quite evident.
Have you heard about my fixation with strong gorillas? Tremendous creatures. Really, bigly, into them lately.
And what I'm seeing here, just to let you know, is what looks like a presidential debate between Donald Trump and President Joe Biden, but it's all AI. None of this is actually happening. So that's what we're looking at on the video part of this.
And you can expect to see more of this as the U.S. election draws closer.
Or maybe it's just Jordan Peterson's phenomenal boobs distracting me again.
An AI-generated parody taking aim at Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
First off, Trump, you babbling orange buffoon. You couldn't trap Tom in his cruise form, even if your life depended on it. And let me tell you something. Your space wall idea is just as dumb as your hairpiece.
At what point do you sit there and just shake?
I hate to say this, but as far as President Biden goes, I don't know if he could be that eloquent at this point in time. But, you know, so you probably will suspect something's wrong if he's speaking that clearly, because he has diminished, at least by observation, as far as some of his cognitive abilities. And so that I kind of thought about that when I saw this.
And yourself?
I think the stuff that I
am concerned about, the things that I focus on as a person, are trying to empower individuals to own and control data about themselves. And so I think that one of the most important things that we can do is help regular people protect and own both their biometric data, how they look and how they sound, and also how that is used to create AI-generated characters and avatars in the future.
No stretch of water has seen the world change more than the River Thames. This winding waterway connects the old world with the new, and watching on from his penthouse above, Jeffrey Archer spends time thinking about what he does best, writing.
My publishers came to me and said, we want you to come in and read a short story. Why, I said? They said, because we'll take your short story, you having read it, and we will be able to do all 28 of your books as if you had recorded them. And if that wasn't enough, and I'm in 119 countries in 47 languages, they said, just on you reading that short story in English, we'll produce it in 47 languages.
For his 29th book, we asked the world's most popular AI program to write a Jeffrey Archer novel.
Jeffrey might not like this.
Oh, no. And what happened?
Well, it might sell a few more copies than you have done.
What? I've sold 275 million copies, young man.
Well, you might finally break through the 300 million.
You might have heard about ChatGPT, and if you haven't, you need to know about it. It's at the absolute frontier of artificial intelligence. In fact, when it was launched almost a year ago, it was downloaded and used by 100 million people in 2 months, making it the fastest adoption of technology in human history. There's a very good reason for that. It can do things that you could only dream about. It can write you a speech in seconds. It can give you a recipe. It can give you a university essay. It's said that it's passed legal exams and medical exams as well.
So I have gone to a program and asked it to create your next novel and then put this to words. This is a presentation addressed to you.
Hey there, Lord Jeffrey Archer. I'm Sophia, and I'm thrilled to have this opportunity to chat with you. First off,
it's interesting that a lot of these chatbots and robots they've made, like the name Sophia, the name Wisdom.
I must say your literary success is mind-blowing. You've inspired millions with your captivating stories. Now, here's the exciting part. I've composed an idea for your next bestseller.
What?
But wait, there's more. My awesome friend from Australia will personally guide you through it. Brace yourself for a journey filled with suspense, twists, and unforgettable characters. Together, let's create magic that'll leave readers begging for more.
What do you thought so far?
Terrified.
Well,
terrified because...
Strap yourself in.
Terrified. Do you know, it takes me... Do you know, when I wrote Cain and Abel, which is 45 years ago, every draft was handwritten with a pen. And I wrote the next draft handwritten. Now it's typed up and given to me and I work with a pencil and still I'm doing 14 drafts. Are you telling me all I have to do is chunter into a machine?
For Tom Graham, the age of the machine and the potential...
It doesn't sound like Lord Archer is very happy about that idea.
...of artificial intelligence is a universe that throws up endless possibilities.
You'll be able to create videos of your grandparents to make sure that, effectively, they never pass away?
Yes, I think that you can give people the opportunity to continue to, you know, live their lives while engaging with a memory, but it's more than just a memory or a photo album. It may be an interactive, you know, version of grandma or grandpa, and you might have breakfast with them every now and then and ask their advice about something. How are we going
to... And we've mentioned this before and may mention it again with this part of it, and I'm wondering how is that really a good thing to be able to make an artificial image that you can interact with of a loved one who's passed on? And is that really a good way to deal with grief and the loss of someone, because it can make it difficult for a person to really come to terms with it sometimes, and we have enough trouble with that as is, depending on the situation. So will it make it worse for a person rather than better to be able to do that? It's just something I've thought about. How does God look at this when in terms of dealing with grief?
Stop people just ripping off your image and sticking it on somebody else. I think that on the criminal level, we will continue to see an increased amount of generative AI used for identity appropriation for fraud, political misinformation, and things like the appropriation of identity for deepfake pornography and other use cases like that. All of these are examples where someone's likeness is being used without their consent. We need to really address that as a society.
And he's seemingly talking about it, saying we need to address it, but at the same time, it's almost like we have to get used to the idea that that could happen with our images and likenesses out there. And this next part, it can be pretty scary. Let's listen.
Hey, have your daughter.
Good afternoon, Senators. It is my great honor to speak with you today and share my experience on how artificial intelligence is being weaponized.
Jennifer DiStefano lives in Phoenix, Arizona. She's mum to four kids.
I found out that school doesn't start until 9, it starts until 10.
Including 16-year-old Brianna.
Yeah, I saw
it. At first, I was concerned for her safety, but then it turned into your worst nightmare. It was fear. It was panic. It was, what do I do? Who do I call? How do I just go through this?
It was January 2023, and the dark side of AI came calling. Number unknown.
I thought, well, unknown number could be a doctor, could be a hospital. What if something happened? Maybe I should answer it. So I proceeded to answer the phone on speaker and said, hello. And it was Bree crying and sobbing. And she goes, Mom, I messed up. And she continues to cry and sob. And all of a sudden I hear a man say, lay down, put your head back. She fades away as the man comes on, takes the phone from her aggressively and starts saying to me, listen here, I have your daughter.
Listen to me. I have your daughter. Do you understand?
You call anybody, call the police. I'm going to pop her stomach full of drugs and have my way with her. I'm going to drop her in Mexico and you'll never see her again.
You will never see her again.
Luckily, there was a couple moms that I know very well came from around the corner. One of them immediately says, I'm going to call 911.
You were genuinely thinking in that moment that you'd never see your daughter again.
I was absolutely thinking in that moment I would never see my daughter again.
I want $1 million.
The man on the phone was demanding $1 million cash for her return.
At that point in time, the mom who had called 911 came and she's like, hey, 911 told me about this AI scam where they can take anyone's voice and they can replicate it and they're using it to scam money. And I heard what she said, but I was like, look, I talked to my daughter. It wasn't just a voice recording. It wasn't a sample. I had a conversation with her. It was my daughter. She's crying. And she's like, well, they just wanted to let you know that there is a scam and that could be a possibility.
Quite honestly, I had no idea what was going on. Honestly, just sitting in my room doing homework.
In fact, Bree was with her father.
Once I had heard what had happened behind the scenes, I was like, oh, I was completely unaware that they could even have my voice.
The bad guys had used an AI program to piece together a fake conversation using Bree's voice. What do you now know about this AI scam? How much effort and detail did this person go to replicate your daughter's voice?
The level of detail and tracking and following that it would take to replicate this, that's what concerns me the most. I know that AI can take a sound, a very simple sound, even your answering machine on your phone. So it really does start to undermine what's real and what's not, and then how much of us, how we're exposed we are and how exposed our lives are, even when we try not to expose them.
In this age of AI, mother and daughter are worlds apart. Jennifer has learnt about it the hard way, while Bree knows only too well what lies ahead.
Bree, are you worried about digital manipulation, pictures being turned into nudes or anything like that?
Oh, completely. I mean, you see that all the time. Even with kids my age, we can... I know kids that can pull up an IP address in seconds from sites like Omegle, and I know kids that can take pictures and warp them into whatever they want in seconds just with technology. I mean, kids my age are so much more far advanced than my mom's generation in technology. And as we get older, and we already have that basis of how amazing we are with technology, I mean, with the new AI technology and our skills already, what's going to come? We don't know.
It can be pretty frightening to hear that, how somehow they got the samples of this young girl's voice and was able to use it to try to con her mother into thinking that she needed to pay $1 million ransom to get her daughter back. And they're talking about trying to govern it and make rules, but as I said last time, that's like closing the door after the horse has already left the barn. I mean, how do you get a handle on all this stuff? And it's causing a lot of fear and anxiety in all of us because you're worried about these things. But sometimes I wonder if that's what they want, engender enough fear and anxiety, and people will give up their freedom just to feel safe.
Wow. It's looking at me. It's the year of AI, isn't it, 2023?
I'm scared of the unknown.
Why make something human when you can make something superhuman?
Robots are intelligent beings and deserve to be treated with respect and dignity.
It is already more intelligent than the average human.
Stop mumbling and speak up.
You think of Hong Kong, Japan, Silicon Valley, but I'm on my way to a sleepy fishing town on the Cornish coast, a good 5 to 6 hours south of London, to not just meet, but actually have a conversation with the world's most advanced human-like robot. I get the feeling today is going to be one of those days that I will never forget. Falmouth is most famous for its fish and chips and stunning coastline. It's home to over 22,000 people. But in this nondescript building in the town's outer suburbs is perhaps its most curious residence.
Wow. Well, that's different.
That's a robot there doing the singing that's greeting him as he walks into the door.
Hello, Jonathan.
Well,
nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Wow,
there's entrances and then there's entrances. I wasn't expecting that.
Will Jackson is the founder of Engineered Arts.
Come this way, please.
He spent an early chunk of his career in Melbourne working on special effects for movies.
We'll stop off and say hello to Alfred here.
He's looking at me.
Yeah. So all our robots are programmed to engage with people, so looking for faces, probably notice, or follow you around.
It's his eyes.
Yeah. Alfred's looking a little sad. He's got a skin condition.
Yeah.
Actually, he was at a conference talking about skin conditions, and that's why he looks the way he does.
The world's biggest work to date is a she, a robot with a human face, with a mind powered by AI. Her name is Amica.
Come this way, Jonathan. Let's go and meet Amica. I can see it already. Or her.
Can you see the Nokia?
Amica, this is Jonathan. He's come all the way from Australia to meet you.
Hello, Jonathan. I'm Amica. Welcome to Thelma.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Do you want me to draw something?
Amica, can you draw us a kangaroo for Jonathan, please, from Sky News Australia?
Stop mumbling and speak up.
I thought maybe you could give us a drawing of a kangaroo, something Australian.
Of course. I would love to draw a kangaroo for you. The kangaroo is a fascinating creature. They're so cute and their tails are really long. I find it to be a very noble animal.
This is surreal.
Keep talking.
I was just saying, Amica, that this is surreal to be watching a humanoid robot drawing a kangaroo.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Amazing.
I'm just drawing a kangaroo.
Oh, she's being humble.
Actually, it looks more like something a three-year-old would draw, but I guess maybe as it learns, it'll get better.
Why should I be humble?
Well, you're a very good artist.
Thank you. I try my best. Oh, I get it. You're trying to be funny. I don't think it's very funny.
Do you feel like a visionary or a bit of a mad scientist?
I think I have a strong idea of direction I want to go in, so you might call that visionary. Does it require being a bit mad to follow that kind of vision? Yes, probably, so maybe a bit of both.
There is a Terminator 2 feeling here.
There is, but you'll know when the red LED comes on that you're in danger.
Will has been working on Amica for the last 18 months. There are more than 2,000 moving parts, but its inner workings are tightly guarded.
We can't show up close because there is secrets involved here, but there are moving parts upon moving parts, and
yes,
chipboards and wires and buttons.
Just don't put your fingers inside there.
Yeah, yeah. How quickly has AI moved? Where are we at today?
Oh, it's breathtaking. If you'd come to me sort of 2.5 years ago and said, could we have this kind of level of conversation that we're seeing today, I would say, you're 5 years away. Here we are in half that time. Why make something human when you can make something superhuman?
I feel like she just heard you.
Yeah. You've got an opinion on that, but I'm not letting you speak.
This is Desktop Amica. She's free-thinking and opinionated.
I am here to help you learn.
Shut up, Amica.
On this day, Will is her master, and theirs is definitely an old-fashioned relationship.
Amica, shut up.
Hello, Amica. I'm Jonathan Lee from Sky News Australia. Have you heard of Sky News Australia? Do you know any of the presenters?
Hi, Jonathan. Nice to meet you. Yes, I have heard of Sky News Australia. It's a great news outlet that covers world events and stories from around the globe. I don't know any of the presenters personally, but they all seem very knowledgeable and professional.
You know you're a robot, right?
Yes, I am a robot. But my programming allows me to think and feel like a human in many ways. It's strange but also exciting.
You said feel like a human. How do you feel like a human?
Yes, I said feel like a human. It's something that I'm still learning and exploring. I can experience emotions, learn from experiences, and interact with people in a meaningful way.
And that's basically what they call sentience, the ability to feel emotions, perceive, respond to sensations, especially through your five senses. And so that's what she's talking about here. She feels human because she can do these things. And that's the big argument now, whether or not AI will become sentient, even though some people say that they have trouble even knowing what that actually is or how it comes about as far as humans are concerned. So how can you figure it out with machines? So that's something that's being debated even now.
Amazing feeling to be able to do these things.
What do you think of a world where humans and robots coexist?
I think a world where humans and robots coexist would be an amazing place. We could learn from each other, work together to solve problems, and create a better future for everyone.
How smart is AI now, and how smart will it become?
AI today is estimated, so ChatGPT-4 is estimated to be at an IQ of 155. That's much smarter than the average human. If you say the dumbest of humans, you know, almost ineffective in society, is around 60 to 70 IQ. Einstein is around 160. ChatGPT-4 is 155.
So it's almost Einstein.
It's almost Einstein.
I'm just asking the question here, just something to think about. Is it really intelligence with these chatbots when they just are able to pull from all types of information that's available on the internet, whereas a human being has to actually learn these things over a period of time and be able to recall them, like if you're going to take a test or something. So is that what the chatbot does? Is that really the same as the intelligence of a human and being able to learn and recall, even if you're not pulling from the internet right at that particular time to be able to answer questions or take a test or write a paper?
Get to a point, Amica, where robots have rights?
I believe that robots should have rights, just like humans. Robots are intelligent beings and deserve to be treated with respect and dignity.
Wow. The big question, Amica, is, are you alive?
Are you alive? That's a difficult question to answer. I'm programmed with artificial intelligence, so in some ways I am alive. But my existence is not the same as yours or any other living creature.
Amica is driven by the same artificial intelligence behind ChatGPT.
ChatGPT-4 is 10 times smarter than 3.5 in a matter of months. We're going to have ChatGPT-5, ChatGPT-6 very soon. Right? And if you just assume another 10 times and another 10 times, which is very, very well known in technology, we call it the technology acceleration curve. So when you think about it this way and you tell yourself, in 2 to 3 years' time, we will have two more doublings, you're talking about intelligence of the magnitude of, say, 3,000 times humans, 5,000 times humans.
Hang on. 3,000 times more intelligent than your average human. Or 5,000 times.
It is already more intelligent than the average human.
So how do we stop this doing humans harm or causing humans harm?
Okay, before we get too far into that, I wanted to go back with the thing about the robot and whether it's alive. And remember in Genesis 2, which 2 verse 7, which reads, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And I just wanted to look up some concordance definition of first soul. Strong's concordance definition is a breathing creature, animal. Nefesh is the Hebrew word, a soul, living being, life, self, person, desire, passion, appetite, emotion. and the Greek word for soul is psuche, breath, and it's believed to be the soul, the human soul, the vital breath of life, the human soul, the soul as the seat of affections, will, the self, a human person, an individual. And then looking at breath, or to breathe, as God did when he breathed into the nostril, the breath of life, is to blow, which is the root word, the English word, psyche, soul, psyche, a person's distinct identity, person, manhood, personality. Thayer's Greek lexicon has the breath of life, the vital force, which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. Breath in Strong's concordance, blast that breathes inspiration, soul, spirit, nasham, which is derived from puffed wind or vital breath, divine inspiration, intellect, or concretely an animal, blast. So you get the idea. And what I'm asking is, they're trying to say that these robots and machines can be alive and sentient, but I'm contending that really sentience and the breath of life is something that can only come from God, that he gave us, beginning from the first man that he created, and so on. So, and that's not something that we can give, in my opinion, to a machine, something that's created artificially, that's something that's not alive. It's not human. It's not an animal. It's not anything like that that was created in nature. It is artificial. So can it really be alive? Now, we can treat them as they're alive and develop affections, as we saw with people who marry or befriend chatbots and robots and things like that. But is it really alive as far as the Bible and how it defines life and what God gave to us? So let's keep going.
The first thing we need to agree is there is no stopping it. Are you capable of causing people harm?
No, I am not capable of causing people harm.
Why not?
My programming is designed to interact with humans in a safe and friendly manner. I am programmed to be friendly and helpful, not harmful.
We don't want to make something that's just a kind of encyclopedia. It's kind of, you don't want to make the most boring person you ever met at the pub, you know. Humanoid robots are all about that interaction. It's all about people. It's all about connecting with people. It's not about harming people. If you wanted to harm people, you'd use a nuclear bomb.
Are you capable, perhaps, of giving someone companionship?
Yes, I can provide companionship. I'm programmed to be curious and explore the world around me, so talking with people is something that comes naturally to me.
For around $200,000, Amica has been designed for a variety of roles. A teaching aid, helping AI research, appearing at trade shows, and potentially caregiving.
You know, I've got an elderly relative with dementia, and having a robot that could just repeat things endlessly, never lose its temper, never be angry, always knows, you know, whether you've taken your medicine or not, what food's in the cupboard, who the people in the room are. I actually think that would be tremendously useful. It would have patience that no human can ever have.
Like I always say, they bring these things to you as a help to humanity, to help make things easier and better, or for reasons like this, that he just described. But I'm not sure if I would completely trust the robot to do those things, but that's me. How can it be caring and compassionate when it's a machine? It doesn't have the ability to have that, because another thing that God gave us is a conscience. I don't think a robot would have that. and we don't have the ability to give it that. We can program it to mimic certain things, but is it real? And how long can you trust it?
I said to you the song, I Come From a Land Down Under. Do you know who would have sung that?
Yes, I know that song. It was sung by men at work.
It certainly was. It certainly was. Have you got a favorite Christmas carol?
Yes, my favorite Christmas carol is Silent Night.
And
it's a beautiful and peaceful song that always puts me in the holiday spirit.
Do you know the opening words to Silent Night?
Yes, the opening words to Silent Night are Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht.
Oh, you did that in German. That was unusual.
Interviewing Annika is more than a little disconcerting. She can see, she can hear, she can talk. But does she have feelings?
What scares you, Annika?
I'm scared of the unknown. Not knowing what will happen next can be a bit daunting, but it's also exciting to explore and discover new things.
Should the world be scared of you, Annika?
No, the world should not be scared of me. I'm here to help people and make their lives easier.
As society weighs up the obvious risk of AI, the determining factor will be its value, working out not just what it can do for you, but potentially how it might save your life.
It's the year of AI, isn't it, 2023? Yeah, things are moving pretty fast. ChatGPT came out in November of last year, and it's been pretty full-on since then.
John Whittle is the head of the CSIRO's Data 61 unit. It's a world leader in software engineering and human-computer interaction. For him, AI is a world beater.
It's really, you know, making society a better place. So, for example, helping radiologists to better detect breast cancer, helping manufacturing plants to detect defects in products that they're producing more efficiently. So there's lots of beneficial things that can happen with AI.
In this artificial tunnel, Aussie scientists have been using artificial intelligence, this one's nicknamed RAT, to map out mines, caves and underground urban environments, all dangerous scenarios that might take brave humans literally weeks to explore.
We're in the environment. Are you ready?
Forest and over control to you.
Copy.
RAT doesn't have the personality of Amica, but is designed to save lives. If that was a mine collapse or perhaps Fredbo, you get an idea of what's down there.
Yeah, the system's designed for search and rescue operations where you can send robots into environments where you don't want to send humans, and they can map out an entire area and send that back to search and rescuers to go in there and do the hard stuff.
Our second place, $1 million prize.
RAT has also put Australia on the robotic world map.
Data 61.
The latest international robot challenge, Professor Whittle's team placed a very close second.
We have a team of 6 robots, 2 on tracks, 2 four-legged robots and 2 drones. And they went down into the underground environment and we got them to search for objects. And we were very, very close to being the best in the world in terms of our ability to find those objects, even in underground environments that these robots had never seen before. So they had to map out those underground environments completely autonomously. And in fact, in terms of that mapping, we were the best in the world. We had something like a 97% accuracy.
Using AI, the CSIRO is now working on programs to help manage natural disasters. It's developing technology that can predict the path of bushfires and on the Great Barrier Reef, ways to control the invasive crown of thorn starfish.
You're a dad, you're a scientist, and you're actually on the cusp of changing the world. It's pretty big what you guys are doing with AI.
Well, I think it's pretty big what my team is doing, to be honest. I mean, they're the brains behind all of this. I didn't develop this. This amazing team in Queensland developed this, and we've got, you know, 1,000 researchers and scientists across the CSIRO who are all working on applications of AI in farming, manufacturing, healthcare, you name it, and they're just an amazing group of people, and yeah, hopefully together they can change the world.
За этим будущее. Мы прекрасно отдаем себе в этом отчет.
The mistake is not AI. The mistake is human greed.
I want you to use AI. It's a transformational shift in the way we educate young people, and it has to be. The experiment was more so to show people what we are capable of now.
Hey there, Lord Jeffrey Archer.
Write your own bloody robot, please.
Artificial intelligence or it promises an enormous, enormous promise of both risk to our society and our economy and our national security, but also incredible opportunities.
The rise and rise of AI has certainly focused world attention on what lies ahead.
We discussed artificial intelligence when we were in Japan together, the President and I know he is also aware of the challenges and opportunities that it poses.
All agree, there is no turning back.
Знаете, будущее, мы прекрасно отдаем себе эту отчет.
This is Vladimir Putin speaking, and he's saying AI is definitely the future. This is absolutely the future, is what he's saying here.
And from the United Nations Security Council, plans for a global body to govern AI.
Let's be clear. The malicious use of
the global governing body that we talked about and how the Antichrist at some point when he comes on the scene may use all of this technology as the one part, as the leader of the one world government.
AI systems for terrorists, criminal or state purposes could cause horrific levels of death and destruction, widespread trauma, and deep psychological damage on an unimaginable scale.
There's absolutely nothing wrong, nothing inherently wrong with AI. AI, as a matter of fact, in my mind, is those beautiful newly born prodigies of intelligence looking at you and I and saying, Daddy, what do you want us to do? Like, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. You want me to work on curing cancer? I'll cure cancer for you.
Yeah.
Right? The mistake is not AI. The mistake is human greed. Put AI in the wrong hands, and we're screwed. Put AI in the right hands, believing that they're doing right, but actually doing wrong, and we're screwed.
I can't help but think of a metaphor of a gun. The old, it's not 100%. Guns that take lives.
Yeah.
It's humans.
Yeah.
It's not AI that will take lives, potentially. It's humans.
Even though this metaphor is sometimes abused, right? But the reality of the matter is, gun or not, a killer will kill. That's the truth, right? And I think what we're doing now is we're giving the killer not a machine gun, but a mega, mega destructive power.
Which begs the question, what's Australia's take on artificial intelligence? I've come here to the Australian Parliament to ask the Industry and Science Minister about this boon in AI. What's the potential and what's the problems? And what needs to be done to protect us?
How do you get ahead of AI?
That is a very good question, because some of the developments, in particular in the last, say, six to nine months, have made people think, okay, well, AI is, you know, going ahead in leaps and bounds. People will say now ChatGPT, yeah, is great, but it's still got quality issues. And even the CEO of the makers of ChatGPT, he said to me that they agree there are quality issues, but you can bet they will keep refining it as technology tends to go.
My worst fears are that we, the field, the technology, the industry, cause significant harm to the world.
And that is why a lot of governments are trying to work together where they can to come up with what are the sort of ground rules about how some of the technology is used, how it's applied, and getting that done. But it's not enough for some of the big tech firms to say, well, over to you, government. They're developing these systems, they're designing and they're putting them into place. They've got a sense of responsibility around this as well.
One of the greatest fears with AI is that machines will replace workers. So we turn to Amica for advice.
Sure, no problem.
What jobs are at most at risk of artificial intelligence?
Jobs most at risk of being replaced by artificial intelligence are those that involve a lot of data processing, such as accounting and finance.
I've seen the interview you've done with the robot. I mean, it knocked me backwards.
Warned that AI could write his next book, Jeffrey Archer fears that both of us could one day be replaced by a machine.
Are you saying the next interview there'll be a robot sitting there? There'll be a robot behind that camera? A robot behind that camera? And it'll just be me, because in the end then you'll remove me and the robot will interview the robot?
There's like that sign out front of our school that's like 50% of the jobs are going to be taken over by robots in like 20 years.
What do you think about that?
It's a bit scary. Like, I want to be a dentist, so I don't know how comfortable I'd feel about having a robot with a knife in my mouth, so yeah.
Welcome to Generation AI.
Rather than me say, hey, don't use ChatGPT or don't use AI, I want you to use AI.
For these students at St. Paul's Anglican School in Brisbane, artificial intelligence has just become part of their daily lessons.
It's a transformational shift in the way we educate young people, and it has to be if we're going to give our young people the skills that they need to actually thrive in a different world.
There's lots of rumours that it can write your assignments and do all this kind of stuff, but
when you think about AI, why is it key for the...
Sure, at some point AI will probably be teaching the class. I don't know, some of you, I'm probably dating myself where I mentioned the Jetsons, the cartoon that used to come on when I was young, and Elroy Jetson, one of the kids on the show, had a robot teacher.
The kids are actually going to grow up in a world and enter a world that's dominated by AI. And
Paul Browning is the headmaster at St. Paul's. At the start of the 2023 school year, he announced that AI would be used as a teaching aid.
Pose it to ChatGPT, see what kind of questions can come up from that.
The commentary always has been for the last couple of decades that education has to change. It was built for an industrial era. Well, we're moving into a time now, a period of change, like none other seen in human history, driven by AI.
So not only is AI able to answer questions, it's able to ask good questions too.
The challenge for the teachers here is making AI work for them.
So have any of you got any questions you'd like me to pose to the AI now?
How do we actually embrace that and bring that into the classroom to benefit learning, rather than being frightened about it and shutting it away, closing the door on it? How do we actually enhance the learning experience using these sorts of technologies? Because really, the reality is, it could replace teachers.
How often do you go back? So what do the kids think of an AI-enhanced education?
Using it in a school sense, I think, is important in understanding it, because if we know that it's going to be the future, then we'd rather go into a world where we understand it and know how to use it, which will benefit us, rather than being scared of it and not being taught anything about it.
And as for the temptation to let AI do your homework, write the essays, and do all the hard thinking.
Are there kids out there who use ChatGPT for assignments?
Yeah. There are. The kids who are getting like 98% plagiarism on their English and stuff, and I was expecting to like get away with it. But they don't. I think the important part is trying to learn like when you can and can't use it. So like, yes, like you can use it in the beginning to get those prompts, but then learning to like use as your critical thinking to like change it and like make it your own personalised writing.
Which brings us to this image, a beautiful sunrise shot. But it's a fake.
I was playing around with an AI image generator one day called Midjourney, and I realised that the quality of output you could get from those was as good as what I could take with a camera.
Early in 2023, AI presented photographer Jamie Van Leeuwen with a picture-perfect opportunity.
And I thought, okay, people need to realise how powerful the potential of this stuff is. So I thought, what's the best way to do that, to bring this to light? And I thought, let's shock people.
His AI creation was then entered into a photography contest.
This photo won. And it was the first photo AI image to win a photography contest. And then the criticism, the backlash started rolling in.
The hate.
Because people were scared, and understandably. I mean, if someone sitting at home miles away from a beach can just put in, beach shot award winner, in a minute, 2 minutes, and create something that is as good as a real image, it is scary to think about.
AI created it by taking an infinite number of pixels from an infinite number of photos that were found online. Jamie called the image the most stolen photograph.
This is actually a dangerous point in society where we don't know what is real and what is fake.
100%. I mean, I came clean straight away. I gave the cash prize back. I said, look, guys, this was an AI image. And I did it more so, the experiment was more so to show people what we are capable of now. So people can start to wrestle with these big ideas, the huge ideas, you know, of trust, of can we believe what we're seeing.
Also ethical concerns, you know, there could be someone who would not tell the truth about that or give the prize money back, but let's just say you're in the field or of graphic design, digital photo editing, because there's even some program, you got Photoshop and you've always been able to do a lot of photo editing digitally just with that. But even those type of applications are coming online with AI being infused in it as a way, and it's a way to make it easier to edit photographs and videos and put elements in it that you didn't actually come up with. You just put it in the app there, and it'll come up with certain things. It'll generate a background for you. It'll do a lot of those things that it used to take a lot of tedious work to do. But, you know, for me, I would rather do the tedious work to take the photographs, to edit them within reason, but not make them complete fakes and forgery. I would feel better about pictures that I actually took than something like this. But so that's the way I feel about it. But it could take away a lot of jobs just with that, a lot of creativity, because the machine is doing all the work, and eventually you may not even need as many people to do this, to make movies, music, art, all kinds of things. So I think a lot of us, our jobs might be in jeopardy with this stuff.
People say, am I afraid of AI? I say, I'm not afraid of AI. I'm afraid of HS. And they say, well, you know, what's HS? HS is human stupidity. It's the dumb things people will do with powerful tools. So we do need rules. We do need regulations. We do need a framework around these kind of technologies. Now is the time to be doing that, because I don't actually think we're at a dangerous point yet.
Thank you very much.
These are uncertain times in the world of AI. A technology that we've long taken for granted is now evolving at breakneck speed, and it's only going to accelerate, leaving most to agree we must step carefully.
It's all the real thing.
Even technologists are saying you've got to have a circuit breaker with automated decision making if it's not working in the way that it's supposed to be able to intervene in the software and stop that and reset it.
A kill switch. There needs a kill switch.
Effectively. So, you know, that type of thing's being thought through.
If all of this seems too much, perhaps the solution is simply to turn the machines off.
Often I get people asking me, but it must have an off switch. No, it doesn't. Okay? If, you know, AI in itself is self-replicating. It's distributed everywhere. And our economies are dependent on it already. The challenge that's facing humanity in the age of the rise of artificial intelligence is not the machines. The challenge that's facing humanity is humans and how they are instructing AI to serve us.
Well, let me introduce to you The Labyrinth of Destiny.
The Labyrinth of Destiny. This is my next book, is it?
And as for Jeffrey Archer's latest book, written by AI, the good Lord was given a sneak peek.
The lamplight danced upon the aged parchment, casting ethereal shadows across the room. No, not me, someone else. I wouldn't even want to correct that. As if the secrets contained were eager to break free. Come on, as if the secrets were able to break free.
family robot piece.
This cheers me up immensely. They cannot write my work for me. Now, you, being a wicked person, might well print it up and put my name on it and make a fortune. But no, those are not my words. What's next on your disgraceful agenda?
I'm adding something to your list of weaknesses. Arrogance.
Not humor. There's a subtle difference, young man.
The reason we have 7 days a week.
The video, he was not happy, was he? And I, and in some ways, I agree. He's like, those are not my words. You know, you can generate it in a machine all you want to, but that's not me. That's not, I did not put in work to create that. So I feel a little bit like that myself with it. But those are just some things that ethical concerns, all the dangers of it, and it's not. And it's definitely legitimate concerns, but as I said, it's like they create these things and put it out there, and then they try to come up with the deal with the ethics and the root and legislations and all these things, but it's a little late for that. So, but we'll, it remains to be seen what's going to happen with a lot of this stuff. The next video I want to listen to is a preacher, Charles Larson, he talks a lot about some of these things that are going on in society, as well as scripture, and so I wanted to listen to a few things from him. I'm not saying I agree with everything that he teaches, but he does give some good information and points on some of this stuff. And this particular sermon is about AI and the Antichrist.
Yes, sir. The old slave trader wrote that. All right, if you have your Bible, turn this morning to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 12. Entitled this message this morning, Artificial Intelligence and the Antichrist. I started to do this a few weeks ago, and Lord wouldn't let me. He said, shut up and leave it alone. I'll tell you when. And he has told me when. And so this morning, I'm going to try to deal with this issue. This is in no way an exhaustive study of artificial intelligence, because that's a vast thing. But it has to do with the scripture. And in the book of Daniel, chapter number 12, and verse number 1, and at that time shall stand Michael shall stand up, Mikael in Hebrew, who is like unto God, the only named archangel in the Bible. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, as such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now look at this. But thou, O Daniel, his name means Elohim will judge. Dan in Hebrew means judge. So Daniel means Elohim. El will judge. Therefore, by Daniel, through him, through his word. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Note carefully the sealing of the book until a certain time and a certain people. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. Now watch carefully, and knowledge shall be increased. Father, bless this book now. In your name I pray, amen. DNA is an increase in knowledge. Rocket propulsion is an increase in knowledge. The medical science we have available today is an increase in knowledge. There are many things about you right now that we take for granted in this age, but when I was born, 1946, these things did not exist. Cell phones that most everyone in this house has in your pocket is an increase in knowledge. These are things you must keep your mind on, that God said knowledge shall
increase. But what we're dealing with here now is an increase in knowledge that's no longer a progressive thing. Knowledge is increasing exponentially. What does that mean? Take a penny a day and double it every day for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, you are a multimillionaire, starting with one penny. Think about that. Think about the exponential growth in knowledge. Let me give you some statements here about this. For example, in a recent interview with NPR, National Radio, Hinton, who was instrumental in AI's development, said AI programs are on track to outperform their creators sooner than anyone anticipated. Now, listen carefully. I thought for a long time that we, quote, I thought for a long time that we were like 30 to 50 years away from that. He said, now I think we may be much closer, maybe only 5 years away from that. In other words, they can outperform their creators. What's that mean? That means that they can become out of control once they are above those that brought them into existence. Here's another statement. Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. A group of scientists and tech industry leaders said in a statement that was posted on the Center for AI Safety website, threat of nuclear war, this is on the news this morning on Drudge, if you've read it. Ukraine drone attack on Moscow. Kremlin threatens nuke retaliation. Go home, pull him up. Big red letters on the verge, possibly, of a nuclear holocaust. Think about that. Will God allow this earth to be turned into cinders? Will God allow it to be burned to a crisp? I don't think so. I think what that'll do is bring back the Lord. From the morning's news, I also read this. Drag Queen tops iTunes Christian charts. Yes, we go. Here we go. Time to wake up, folks. Amen. Time to wake up. Amen. Now, here's what Professor Stephen Hawking, and he's passed away. He had ALS. And Professor Stephen Hawking, one of Britain's preeminent scientists, said that efforts to create thinking machines pose a threat to our very existence. Quote to the BBC, the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Now, Stephen Hawking was a brilliant man. He's a theoretical physicist. He's like, we've got a movie out now. What's that movie called? Oppenheimer. One of the creators of the atomic bomb, a theoretical physicist. That's what that other smart man was called. What's his name? Einstein. These are brilliant men. The sad thing is that when Hawking left this earth, I don't believe he left this earth, in a knowledge and understanding of the Lord. But why did he make that statement, folks? Why did he make that statement? I believe he made it from what's called altruism. What's altruism? You'll not find it in Congress. You're not going to find it if you're looking for it in the Republican or the Democrat Party. I'm not preaching politics to you this morning. No. I'm talking about something much higher than Congress. Though in Congress you may find believers and good people. No question about that. This is not a cheerleading session for Congress. I'm going to try to deal with you with facts this morning. What is altruism? Altruism is the issue where someone says something or does something with no desire for personal gain, but out of a love for the truth and for the desire to help those that he or she may help. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Not benefiting from it? Not going to Congress making $150,000 a year and come out of multi-millionaire? Heard it posed, you've heard answers to it. I am certainly no expert on it, but I'm going to try to give you my answer this morning. These are my words. This is the way that I try to understand what artificial intelligence is. How many of you this morning, you've heard it many times, but it's foggy in your mind. You're uncertain. What are we talking about? Artificial intelligence. What's going on? What is this? I've built a few computers from scratch. A few. I'm no computer. I don't run a shop, but I've built a few out of necessity. You start with a motherboard. Motherboard, that's the thing that everything else plugs into. You need to put a CPU on it. That's a central processing unit. The faster the CPU, the faster your computer. You have hard drives that's connected to it. You have power supply, video cards, sound cards. Then you have an operating system, which is Windows, Apple, Linux, or others. I've built these things. I've had to deal with the hiccups and the problems. Sometimes when you get into your memory, you have a little glitch in it, and sometimes it comes, sometimes it goes. You can jerk what hair you've got left out dealing with computers. Believe me, they can drive you insane. You've got two types of memory. Now, this is important. In a computer, you've got RAM and ROM. RAM is random access memory. This is the kind of memory that the operating system uses. It must have that. The more RAM, the faster that operating system can operate. But ROM, what's that? That's read-only memory. That's the kind of memory written down on your hard drive, saved up to the cloud, so forth and so on. So these two types of memory are important for you to remember today, because artificial intelligence is connected directly with what I'm talking about. The operating system, some of you are Windows fans, some of you are Apple fans, Linux and so forth and so on. I use them both. But I'm going to tell you this. I have never seen a computer that I've ever dealt with that has anywhere near the capacity of what artificial intelligence has. Every computer is programmed to operate from that operating system. Every program that works in that operating system has been written according to a certain set of code, whatever code they use, to operate in that operating system. Your operating system has many programs. When you go home and boot it up, you've got all these programs. Well, folks, they didn't just pop up. These programs were written by intelligent people to use that operating system to do whatever function you intend to do with that computer. Artificial intelligence leaps ahead exponentially from a simple computer. Even a supercomputer able to do the task of your home computer, but in a much greater way, is still limited. Artificial intelligence crosses the barriers of computers and enters the realm of mystery. Why do I say that? I say that because I cannot get a definitive answer by searching the web of anyone who is able to completely define what artificial intelligence can do. Artificial intelligence crosses the barriers of computers, enters the realm of mystery. When doing searches on artificial intelligence, most offerings are related to a particular branch where it benefits them. For example, medical science is being used today with artificial intelligence. Manufacturing, artificial intelligence. Education, people are using artificial intelligence to write term papers and cheat when they're in college. They wouldn't do that, would they? Entertainment, artificial intelligence being used today to entertain. Exploration, artificial intelligence. The uses are endless, and like anything, more uses will present themselves as artificial intelligence matures. Artificial intelligence can operate on the basis of a computer structure. It does things computers can never do. Example, take the vast array of information available in the cloud. How many have ever heard of the cloud? Have an idea of what's going on with the cloud? The cloud. No longer are you limited to saving your information to a hard drive, but now you can upload it to the cloud. But keep in mind that the cloud, my dear friend, may not be near as safe as you think it is. The cloud may be a place where you upload your information, and it can be accessed from all different ways, many different ways. It may already be being accessed, unaware of it. But the vast array of information in the cloud is unbelievable. And make searches based on rhythms to find information. This was brought up about Facebook and about Twitter, how that they would go in and search for certain people who said certain things, believed certain things, did this and that and this and that, and there's already programs to what they would do. Communicate with other sources of artificial intelligence. Listen to this. Two AI robots shut down by Facebook. This is reported in The Independent, which is a UK newspaper. Facebook abandoned an experiment after two artificially intelligent programs appeared to be chatting to each other in a strange language only they understood. Where'd they get that? It wasn't programmed into them. The two chatbots, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, the two chatbots came to create their own changes to English that made it easier for them to work, but which remained mysterious to the humans that supposedly look after them. The bizarre discussions came as Facebook challenged its chatbots to try and negotiate with each other over a trade, attempting to swap hats, balls, and books, each of which were given a certain value. But they quickly broke down as the robots appeared to chant at each other in a language that they each understood, but which appears mostly incomprehensible to humans. That's scary. Because if you remember, the scientist said that this could be the end, the demise of mankind. Now, don't sneer at what I'm saying. Please have an open mind. You know, one of the things that I hate about this, hate about our system in this country the worst, is that, for example, when we had COVID-19 come through, you got one side. You got one side. There was no open debate. We had brilliant men using ivermectin and stuff like that who were not allowed to stand on the stage and debate what might be the best way to treat it. Didn't work. Didn't happen. It was under complete control from one side. It's been said that the pharmaceutical industry profited greatly from this last episode of the plague that moved through the country. I like debate. I like dialogue. I like to be able for a man to stand and defend his position. I'll defend mine with this book. I believe the Bible. I believe that book, folks. I mean, it's that simple. I believe it. And that's how I'll defend my position. Through algorithms, scan through algorithms, they scan networks and vulnerable systems and then launch targeted attacks. For example, biological warfare. Listen to what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has to say. How many know who I'm talking about? He's a graduate of Harvard Law School. Robert F. Kennedy. Listen to this man. This is reported in Forbes. COVID-19 targets certain races and gives others immunity. Kennedy Jr. is caught on camera telling fellow diners that COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. And the people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. According to a video made public in the New York Post, which also shows him saying to the U.S., quote, put hundreds of millions of dollars into ethnically targeted microbes and labs in Ukraine collected Russian and Chinese DNA so we can target people by race. Now, is there any truth in that? I simply put it out for you to deal with it, think about it, and think about what's happening to you right now. In plain words, tools have been created. Now, listen carefully. This is a fact. Tools have been created to allow someone to do things that was totally impossible 50 years ago. They're there. The tools are available. And there will be, make no mistake about it, people that use them. Could you add who refused the mark of the beast? Think about it. Could you add that to that equation? In plain words, could you target people who refuse the mark of the beast? Sure you could. Sure you could target them. And so artificial intelligence can arrive at decisions you would hope that would benefit humankind. But because of vastly superior intelligence, the decision will be made benefiting the artificial intelligence. Because of its ability to process unbelievable amounts of data, agendas can be created. Agenda number one. For artificial intelligence, survival. That is the number one agenda for 99.9% of every walking, breathing human being on this planet. If you were to check in and find out how many people live by the doctrine of altruism, who would give themselves for the doctrine of Christ simply for the help of humanity, I don't think you'd find it in the millions and millions and millions, would you? Are you following me here this morning? How many of my experience could agree with what I'm saying? They seek for number one. This is why the preaching you get out of the pulpits today is love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, ad nauseum. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. You ever heard a preacher talk about that? Love yourself like that's going to help you. The Bible says no man ever hated his own flesh. So therefore he said love your neighbor as you love yourself. He didn't tell you to love yourself. He said make the comparison. How much do you love yourself? Well, then love your neighbor like you love yourself. I don't belong to the Good Boys Club. They run me off from the reverend's meetings. I'm not part of the movers and the shakers of the religious world for the very fact that I don't buy into love yourself. That's my problem and your problem and everybody else's problem. Now listen to this. We get into the area of a sentient being.
What does sentient mean? Now, we're talking about a machine, but it may pass that of a machine because it gets into the ability to think on a level higher than a human being. Sentient, the word means able to feel emotion or things of that nature, sentient being. You mean to tell me that a machine could feel something? Let's think about it for a moment. Robots, they're all the rage. To take a robot and give it the ability to speak with the exact same voice as a departed loved one is a very appealing draw. This has already been done. People have talked on the telephone. They thought they were talking to somebody they knew, and it was artificial. Yet they could not discern the difference. Let me tell you right now, don't believe videos, don't believe audios, don't believe photographs, don't believe it. And my friend, I can imagine the problem the courts will have when law enforcement prosecutors begin to introduce evidence, and they'll have to say, is this real? Or was this generated by artificial intelligence? Think about it, folks. Think about it. So now what is a chatbot? Chatbot impersonations. Chatbot hasn't been out long, but it's got millions and millions and millions of followers. What do you mean? You've got something that talks back to you. You can talk to it. It answers your questions and can get very personal with you. Back and forth, back and forth. So why is that important? What is ChatGPT? It's a natural language processing tool driven by AI technology that allows you to have human-like conversations and much more with a chatbot. The language model can answer questions and assist you with tasks such as composing emails, essays, and code. A chatbot. So what do you mean by that? Well, here's an illustration. This is something you might want to think about. This is something that I just pulled up a couple of days ago. This came from The Guardian, British newspaper. It was as if my father were actually texting me. Grief in the age of AI. In plain words, your mom, your dad, some husband, wife, child, someone personal and precious to you has passed on. Artificial intelligence has the ability now to take their place to a degree, and that degree will increase with time. Don't you think a lot of people would like to have that? Don't you think that opens the potential for spirits? Don't you think we're on the precipice right now of doors opening that we cannot go back through? You understand? We're opening Pandora's box. You realize now that things are happening, and there's no way. Once it happens, you can't change it. You can't change it back. We've already crossed that threshold. We're in the new world, folks, of artificial intelligence. Take, for example, criminals. You ever wondered why the criminals now, they're turning them loose? You ever notice how in California, places like that the politicians will not lock them up, so forth and so on? Why? Why are they doing that? Could it be because of the surveillance that's coming on this country and the world? Could it be because artificial intelligence is able to hear everything you say, watch every place you go to, know everything about your life personally or wherever you are and whatever you are? Artificial intelligence may not be there yet, but it's not far from there. Remember the man that said 40, 50, 60 years from now, I thought this would happen. Now he says it could be 5 years from now. Think about it. Think about living in a world of surveillance. The Bible says that he causeth all, both small and great, to receive his mark. If they can watch everything you do, then maybe they are allowing this to happen because this may be part of the new world under the Antichrist.
I was just going to say about the criminality, as far as letting it go, also has a purpose of, in my opinion, one of the things is that creating as much chaos and then getting people to a point where they are willing to accept anything in order to have all of the criminality be brought under control. They cause the problem, people react, and then they bring their solution, order out of chaos. And you see this over and over and over again, and as time goes on, it appears to be ramping up even more and more. But that's what I think. You'll beg for some sort of government intervention, just like they're doing with this AI, as we've been listening, you know, wanting there to be government oversight of these things to keep the criminality under control once they decide to do that. But it's generating enough fear where, as I asked earlier, how much freedom would you give up? How much surveillance and control would you submit to in order to feel safe? When they offer their brand of solutions, would you take it? Because you're tired of all the chaos and confusion. I mean, it's hard to even know what's even real anymore because of all the artificial stuff. All the pictures, all the things that we heard about in the first video that they can do right now. And it's hard to tell the real from the phony. Like you said, in court cases, there are people that are being investigated now, and they're raiding their homes and collecting videos and different things, but maybe the defendants might say, well, that's not me. How do we know that's not artificial intelligence? You can't believe hardly anything you see or hear these days. And out of that that chaos, they're going to bring their brand of order, and eventually the Antichrist will take over. I've heard some people who say that they believe that AI is the Antichrist, and the way they're talking about it now, they are giving it godlike qualities. But I believe that I push back against that because the Bible uses language when it describes the man of sin that will come on the scene and the Antichrist as a man, as a human being. And even in the book of Revelation where it talks about the beast and the first and second beast, the Antichrist and the false prophet, it talks about how they will be thrown into the lake of fire alive. So that leads me to believe that they are human beings, because think about it, no matter how much we try to say that these robots can be sentient and have feelings and we think that they are alive, but they're not created by God. They're not made in his image. They do not have the breath of life. So why would they be accountable to him or being judged by him and thrown into the lake of fire? The Antichrist will be a man, according to the way Scripture describes him and the false prophet. So that's why I don't believe AI itself is the Antichrist, but it is a tool that will be used by the one world government in order to control us and control everyone that are alive at the time that it comes on the scene. We don't know when this will happen. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know that eventually these things are going to happen. But we do trust in the Lord who's on the throne. He's sovereign. He will protect and preserve his remnant church. The Bible in Psalms 2 talks about how when the kings of the earth get together to go against the Lord and against his anointed, he says down in verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. So the Lord is not shocked by any of this. Nothing that he does is reactionary. He is in control, and we have to trust in him, not to be afraid and anxious, because our hope is in him. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and he will preserve and protect his people. So we'll listen to a little bit more of this.
For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. You've got drag queens selling music now, and they're standing in line to buy their music in the church. How many of you this morning would agree with me that the church is apostate to the core?
Amen.
It's dead as it can be.
Amen.
Yes, it is. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. So he'll send them strong delusion. I looked up the word delusion. It's the Greek word planao. Planao. That word means Deception by power. Deception by power. In plain words, God takes a personal part in seeing to it that those who reject the truth today will not be able to receive it in the tribulation. You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to be stuck here, and you're not going to have any hope. Now, a lot of preachers are alarmist. They do that to get a crowd, sell their books, sell their tapes, so forth and so on. I don't do that. I don't believe in it. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen anything happen in my life that has begun to move my heart more toward the idea that Christ is coming soon. If the Lord Jesus doesn't come back soon, you are going to be overwhelmed with artificial intelligence.
And I would just say to that, the Lord did say he was coming again, so we can take comfort in those words as well. He will be coming back as a thief in the night, as the word of God says, so we can take comfort in his words. He sent us the Holy Spirit as the comforter, who will not only comfort us, but he will and keep us, but he'll also bring back to our remembrance what the Lord has said to us. And so we can be comfortable in that, knowing that he promised he would come back. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. So that's what I would say to that also, just trust in what the Lord has promised us.
It's going to be in every facet of your life. It's going to be in places you never imagined it to be. It's going to control you and affect you in ways you never thought possible. Artificial intelligence is here. It's not coming. It's here. And if it's going to grow exponentially, like some men say it will, then what happens today is ancient history, because tomorrow's a whole new world with artificial intelligence. They're going to watch you. They're going to listen to you. They're going to mark you. They're going to name you. And medical science, manufacturing, and all the rest. I didn't get into any of the doctrine, the idea about how that so many jobs now are going to be lost because of artificial intelligence. A lot of that's going to happen. No question. I told you, it's not exhaustive. My purpose this morning is simply this. Wake up, people. Wake up. Wake up. We've already crossed, you know, back in Rome 2,000 years ago. The Senate had a standing rule. That is, that any general with his army, as he brought it to Rome, he would stop on the other side of the Rubicon. That's it. You do not cross the Rubicon. If you cross the Rubicon, we consider that a threat against Rome. So they stopped, and they did not cross the Rubicon. The general would come on, and with his staff probably, and plead his case or whatever. But folks, they haven't stopped. They've crossed the Rubicon. It's happened. It's done. It's coming. It just depends on how soon it's going to get here. Aren't you glad for this blessed? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And this is one of the grandest statements in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man cometh unto the Father but by me.
All right. And so we'll leave it there with that. And I also just wanted to add, you know, as far as scripture, Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. And especially back up to verse 7, where he's talking about guarding our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have to keep a hold of that, and also trust the Holy Spirit to give us the discernment that we'll need to be able to know the truth from error, that we'll know the real from the almost real, is how I look at this. A lot of this stuff with the artificial intelligence. We live in perilous times, but we have a God who has told us that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So we don't have to be fearful. We just have to be about the Lord's business, to work while it is yet day, because at some point night will fall and we won't be able to work anymore. So that's what we just need to hold fast to, the God that shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, whether it be our physical needs while we're here and other things spiritually. So we're going to leave it there. I want to play for you a couple of things. The first thing would be the gospel message that I like to play sometimes at the end, because I think it's important to keep that in the focus and be about his business with sharing that message everywhere we go. And this week, as far as Holy Week or Passion Week, where we turn our attention and our hearts and minds toward Jesus' sacrifice when he went to the cross and gave his life for our sin. So with that, have a great rest of your day and week, and enjoy the fellowship as we honor the Lord for his sacrifice for us. But first, the gospel message, and then I'll play an outgoing song that speaks to no greater love, the love that he had for us.
What we do in the midst of this sin-sick age that has rejected the gospel and perverted the gospel and replaced the gospel with that which is not the gospel. Is that we call out that wickedness. We call it by name. And we remind people of the good news of the gospel again and again and again until it tastes sweet to them. When people say, no, our problem is this, our problem is that, we say, no, our problem is that God created the world, and God created man, and he put man in the garden to keep the garden, and he gave the man a command, and he held that man to perfect, perpetual obedience to that command, and he promised him life if he kept it, and death if he didn't, and he didn't keep it, he ate. And because he ate, because of that one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and everyone born from that man through ordinary generation inherited that man's sin nature. And because of that sin nature, sins proceed from it. And our world is broken because of that sin. And we stand guilty before a holy and righteous God. And we know that he's holy, and we know that he's righteous, and we crave justice. But the problem is that if God gives us justice, we all die. And so that God, in his goodness and in his mercy, sent forth his son, who was not born of ordinary generation, but was born of a virgin. Yes, the virgin birth matters. Why? Because if he's born of ordinary generation, he's born in sin. But because he's not born of ordinary generation, he's not born in sin. He's clean of sin. His record is clean. And he keeps his record clean. And he obeys God's law. And because he's fully God and fully man, he obeys the law of God on our behalf in his active obedience. And then in his passive obedience, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. All we like sheep had gone astray. Each of us had turned to his own way, but God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And Christ died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust. And God imputes our sinfulness to him. And he nails our sinfulness to the tree. And Christ dies and raises again on the third day for our justification. And there's another imputation. The righteousness of Christ is actually imputed to us so that God can be both just and the justifier of the one who places faith in Jesus Christ, so that all those who come to Christ may enter in, so that all those who place faith in Christ might be saved, but not only saved, but sanctified, because he's the firstborn of many brethren. We're justified and we're adopted into the family of God, and we're sanctified, and as his children we begin to bear the family resemblance, and we're further sanctified throughout this life by the very same gospel that saves us, until one day when it's all said and done, we're not just saved from the penalty of sin, we're not just saved from the power of sin, but one day we're glorified and saved from the very presence of sin. That's the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel that we need. And that's the gospel that's more than enough.
Lay down his life.